You know, over the last, I believe that no matter what we're doing for God, we're always going from glory to glory. I'm convinced about this. Even in our ministry service and activity with the Lord, we go from glory to glory. We never camp out at one level. We never camp out at one level. And after I got married 2+ years ago, and me and Stephanie started to pray together as a husband and wife, God started to birth some new things in us. And you know what I think? This is how God keeps life exciting. No matter what you have done in your life up to this point, there is still, no matter how old you are or how young you are, there is still something new that God can birth in you and through you. I have seen some dangerous Holy Ghost grandmas. Oh, I have. Some dangerous Holy Ghost grandmas anointed by God. I will never forget, you know, I will never forget the meeting I was in. And there was a prayer team up there. And one of the prayer team members was this cute little grandma. And I was like, oh, grandma, I love you. I want you to pray for me. And she's so cute. And she's going down the line praying for people. And she gets up to a teenager. And the teenager confesses his sin to her. And she discerns that he needs deliverance. So she takes her little arm, puts it around his neck, and puts him in a chokehold and starts punching the demons out of him. Oh, yeah. Boom. And he's like, oh, you know. And those things are coming right out. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, it is never too late to receive a fresh anointing for a new thing that God wants to do in you and through you. And we are in a season right now where God is birthing new things. It's a birthing time right now. God is giving birth to new dreams, new anointings. And last night we were talking about fresh oil that God is releasing over people's lives. Oh, yes. Some of you thought you were done having children. And you were so happy that they were grown up and out of the house. But praise God, you're about to give birth again. God is a God of miracles. Now, I'm not talking about natural children. I'm talking about spiritual. I'm talking about, yeah, oh, you're like, oh, phew, praise God. I know you were thinking, if he has an altar call for that, I am not going forward. This is one altar call I'm not going forward for. Oh, I've seen all kinds of altar calls. I have seen all kinds of altar calls. I will never forget the special speaker came through and she was talking about martyrdom and giving your life for Jesus. And she gave an altar call for martyrdom. She's like, if you feel called to give your life as a martyr for God, come on forward. And everyone went forward. Except for me. I'm like, I ain't going. I am praying for the rapture. I am going to be raptured. I am not going to be martyred. And the best part of this altar call, she was praying for people and they were getting slain in the spirit and bodies were. And then the little cute prayer cloth ladies, you know, the prayer cloth ladies, I don't know if you've seen them. They throw blankets on people on the floor. They like cover you. They tuck you in. They just like tuck you in as God is anointing you. And she was going by and I saw her and she was walking around people throwing blankets on them. And she's like, better you than me. Better you than me. She's like so happy at the altar. She's like, better you than me. Oh. But look, God, no matter what you've done up to this point, even if you've been serving God for 50 years, there's no retiring. There's only refiring. Come on now. God has not called you to retire and just sit around. He has called you to be refired, to be used for his glory, to be anointed for such a time as this. And today, you know, I but it's exciting. Even since the last time we were here, and that was like 2 years ago now, even in the last 2 years, just even in this last year, serving the Lord with Stephanie, we started to dream some new dreams. We started to give birth to some new things. Oh, she's not pregnant. No. For all the inquiring minds, when's the baby's coming? Oh, we have gotten so many prophetic words about the children that we shall bear. And some of those prophetic words, I have bound them up and cast them down. I'm like, they were not prophesying. They were prophelying. I'm like, that is not a prophecy. One lady comes up to Stephanie at the resource table. She's like, oh, I know I'm not supposed to do this. And she's thinking, well, then maybe you shouldn't. And she's like, I know I'm not supposed to, but the Lord showed me you're going to have 5 kids. And then she says, and they're all going to be wild. And she tells me that. I'm like, I bind that in the name of Jesus. I do not want 5 wild children. Praise God. But as we started to dream together and pray together, God started to release some new things. And here's some amazing testimonies just in the last 10 months, 11 months through our ministry. God has raised up a whole new arm of our ministry that we did not have last time we were here. It's called Rescue One. Each one can rescue one. And the vision and the mandate is to rescue sex trafficked and abandoned children around the world. And the Lord showed me that he was going to bring divine justice for the defenseless and for those that had no voice, that he was going to be a voice for them and he was going to rescue them out from those places. And right now, as we stand here today, we have 160 beautiful children that have been rescued from sex trafficking and life out on the street. 160 beautiful boys and girls. And just in the last few months, we've had 10 new children come into our homes, our Rescue One homes. And it's in southern India, where they've got 3 million people trapped in sex trafficking. And out of that 3 million people, 40% are children. Our children, many of them rescued out of brothels, rescued from situations where they've been sold against their will. But God is intervening. And I'm convinced about one thing. In this hour, we are not anointed to complain about the problems. We are anointed to be a solution to the problems. The church, the body of Christ, we are anointed to be the solution. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? So I'm so excited about that. We love it. And we're dreaming about expanding, and we will expand to other nations and other countries, and we will keep going, rescuing child by child by child by child, making a difference that we can make. Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. And another thing that we've released this year, God spoke to my heart early this year, and he said, Matt, I want you to begin to mentor people. I want you to begin to raise people up. And I'm like, okay, God, I'll do it. And we started this whole thing. He gave me a creative idea through a live interactive online using technology. It takes away the limits of location and where people are. And we literally mentor people now. In other words, we pour into them. We pray for them. We teach them, train them, pray impartation into them all around the world through live interactive web streaming. Something that we launched this year. And we've literally had hundreds of people from around the world be mentored in how to live in the glory of God, how to experience freedom and deliverance. We're doing another mentoring group this coming November, and it's going to be on knowing your identity in the glory, knowing who you are. Because once you know who you are, the devil can never lie to you again. Once you know who you are, you become dangerous. And God does want to make you dangerous. Even all those in the back row, God wants to make you dangerous. And these are new things. See, and I feel like as all of us serve God, He wants to bring us from glory to glory and continually release new things in our lives and through our lives. And I feel like this is a prophetic word, even for those that God has brought here today, that God has a new anointing and a new vision that He's going to give birth to in your life in this season. And honestly, all He's looking for is for someone who will say, yes, here I am, God, send me. Anyone here willing to say yes to God? I want you to turn in your Bibles over to Psalm 23. I started to read there last night, and I want to launch off of this again this afternoon. You know, I'll just mention this. If God ever speaks to your heart, if God ever speaks to your heart and puts a desire in you to rescue a child from sex trafficking and abandonment, you can. You can make a difference. You can totally make a difference. We've got 10 children right now that have been rescued recently. And we have a whole family program that we have set up where people, they basically commit to a child. And they sponsor a child, and they help provide the food, the clothing, the education, the medical care, all of that for this child, and they become one who rescues a child. If God speaks to your heart, you can be one of those ones. You could talk to Stephanie at the resource table, and she could tell you more about it. But I just believe in this hour, God wants to so anoint us, not so that we just keep it for ourselves, but that we give it away to as many people as possible. Ooh, hallelujah. You realize that, right? That when God anoints you, it's to help others. Yes. It's a key to breakthrough. Because we're going to talk about breakthrough today. How many here could use a good breakthrough in something in your life? And I remember at our office, we had a woman calling the office every day with a prayer request, and my staff was praying with her every day, and it was the same prayer request every day, and we love praying for people, and we just, you know, love to agree with people and see God move. And I really felt in my heart one day, I said, you know what, when she calls again, just encourage her. Say, you know, today, just to exercise your faith, today, step out and do something for someone else. Even as you're believing God for your breakthrough, step out to help someone else. Because I know, I've experienced this in my own life. Many of my own breakthroughs have happened when I've stepped out to help someone else. So after we shared that with her, she never called again. And I don't know if it's because she got her breakthrough or because she just didn't like the advice. But I know today is a day of breakthrough. Today's a day of breakthrough for you. Today is a day of fresh anointing, fresh oil, and fresh breakthrough. And in the Psalm 23, I was meditating on this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. You know, when God is our shepherd, He covers us. He provides for us. It says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. What an amazing thing that God can lead us beside still waters and restful waters. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about not just rest on the outside, but rest on the inside. Have you ever gone away on vacation to rest and come home more exhausted? I've experienced this where I'm like, I'm going to go away to rest. And I'm so, you know, active on my vacation. I need a vacation from my vacation. But I've learned something about rest. Rest in God is more than just laying on the couch and not having physical activity. Because some of the rest we need is more than just physical rest. It's a deeper rest. It's a soul rest. You know what I'm talking about? When your soul feels tired. Has anyone ever experienced that? Where your soul feels tired. It's not just a physical tiredness, but it's a tiredness on the inside. And sometimes when you're going through stuff and stuff is happening, you're in a battle. Sometimes your soul can get tired. But I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to live with a tired soul. You can have a refreshed, healthy, filled up soul filled with the presence of God. Totally rested in your soul area. And I encourage you, if you ever feel that, you know what the answer to that is? The answer is the presence of God. How do you get the presence of God? You come before God in prayer. You can tell God everything and anything, and he has never knocked off his throne. You can be totally honest with God, with the good, the bad, the ugly. And you come to God, you say, God, I feel this way, I feel that way, and you pour out what you feel to him. And you wait on him, and a divine exchange takes place. And you say, God, I feel tired, I feel worn, I feel this, I feel that. You know, sometimes I've gotten into that place where I am maybe pouring out so much and then I'm losing sleep or I'm not, because I'm so active with activity, maybe my prayer life slips a little bit. And I always recognize it because somewhere in that process, a little tired feeling starts happening on the inside. And it's a little sign to me saying, hey, get back, connect to the presence. And then I go and I wait on God. And I pour out to him, and then he pours into me, and I could feel it on the inside. A supernatural refreshing comes into my soul where I can get more rest in 15 minutes in the presence of God than I can a whole week on vacation. And it's the secret to having a continual sense of the river or the refreshing of God on the inside of you. So it says he leads us beside these still waters, these restful waters. And then he refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they guide me, they comfort me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You know, God wants to make us fearless. He wants to fill us with so much of himself that we don't sit in fear of what we're walking through. Anyone here ever go through a valley? You know what a valley is? A valley, I mean, I define a valley basically any negative thing that you experience. Any negative circumstance or situation. And that valley could be caused by situations outside of your control. That valley can be caused by the actions of other people. That valley can be caused by the attitudes, the behavior, the words of other people affect you negatively or stress you out. Anyone here ever want to lay hands on someone? Come on. I like to get real with this thing. Look. Anyone here ever have the behavior or the words or actions of another person negatively affect you unfairly? Okay, where someone else is behaving a certain way and it is causing stress in your life. Or your peace is getting robbed or your joy is getting robbed or something's happening. Right? And you find yourself in the valley and it ain't your fault. It's because of situations around you and you feel like you're going through this hard time. And then some valleys are the result of our own behavior. Okay, we got to take responsibility for that too. Right? Because if we always blame shift when it is our own fault, then we'll actually never change. And then we go through patterns and cycles and circles around and around and around. So it is good that if we find ourselves in a difficult situation because of our own behavior, that we deal with those things. We take responsibility for those things. And we don't just blame everyone else. It's easy to do that, right? It's easier sometimes to blame someone else than to take responsibility for your own behavior in the midst of that situation. Well, I wouldn't have gotten upset if you didn't do this, right? And you justify your own behavior because, of course, there's a reason why you behave that way because of so-and-so. or because of this or because of that. But you can't just blame everything around you. Sometimes you got to take responsibility for yourself. I find that's when the greatest personal growth happens. The most personal breakthroughs happen when you can take responsibility. But nevertheless, sometimes we find ourselves in valleys. And the mistake Christians make is that when they read the scripture, though I walk through the valley, and they put the focus on the word valley. Though I walk through the valley, oh God, I'm in a valley. And then what they do is they pitch a tent in the valley. They build a little campfire, lay out their sleeping bag. They sleep in the valley. They camp in the valley. They have a party in the valley, a pity party. And they hang out in the valley. Look, the scripture doesn't say, though I hang out in the valley. It says, though I go through the valley. And the key word is not valley. The key word is through. Through. Everyone say through. Though I go through the valley. And you know how you get through a valley? Oh, you're so smart. You keep going. You keep moving. You keep praying. You keep worshiping. You keep reading the word. You keep speaking the word. You keep moving. And eventually you come out the other side. And here's the amazing thing I've discovered about this whole process. And my wife said it earlier about feeling maybe resistance in the spirit realm or some sort of opposition or resistance in your life. Anyone here been experiencing any of that? Where you just feel some resistance or opposition or something just trying to hinder or block or constrain you in some way? Well, I want to teach you how to deal with that. So we know, and I was telling the young people earlier, that there's an invisible world, there's a spirit realm that we don't see with the natural eye. It's just as real as the natural world. And when the enemy presses against you, either with oppression or temptation or discouragement or whatever it is that he's trying to press against you with, the mistake is just sitting under it and being like, and just sitting there. That's the mistake. When the enemy presses against you, you turn and you press into God. As you press into God, I'm going to tell you what happens. God takes his hand right underneath you and lifts you up and lifts you higher. And he lifts you above the heads of your enemies until one day you can turn around and look at the enemy and say, thank you for pushing me into a higher anointing. If you just sit under it, he'll press you down. If you turn and press into God, this is what happens. As you press into God, God lifts you. He brings you to a new level of breakthrough, a new level of faith, a new level of the anointing, even a new level of spiritual authority. He brings you higher. And then the very thing, oh, this is the best part. The very thing that the enemy used to try to defeat you becomes the very thing God anoints you in, and your breakthrough becomes a breakthrough for somebody else. Oh, praise God. Oh, this is such good news. In other words, nothing in your life has to be wasted. Even the negative things you've had to endure and walk through. Because the very thing that the enemy designed to take you out, God redesigns it to give you breakthrough and victory. Oh, God is really good at redesigning. He is so good. You know, the enemy was so full of pride that when he inspired the heart of man to crucify Jesus, he thought he was winning. You know this, right? The enemy was so full of pride, he thought he was winning. He thought he was beating Jesus and defeating God. But God is so good at just the right moment, pulling the rug right out from underneath the enemy. And when the enemy thought he was winning and Jesus was being crucified and he was defeating the Son of Man, what does Jesus go and do? He takes the keys of death and hell, rises from the dead, and totally defeats the enemy. And the very thing the enemy strategized to defeat Jesus became the very thing God used to exalt Jesus and bring total victory bringing not only victory for Jesus, but victory to mankind over sin and over the enemy. God is so good at redesigning the things that the enemy is designing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this is good. There's breakthrough coming. I'm speaking it over you today. There's a breakthrough. There's a breakthrough. There's a breakthrough. It's the hour of breakthrough. Though I walk through, and I've discovered something about deliverance. Not every deliverance or breakthrough is where God just delivers you out of. Because many of us, we're praying, God, just deliver me out of this situation, or deliver me out of this or that. Sometimes God doesn't deliver you out of. Sometimes he delivers you through. Though I walk through the valley. See, sometimes God doesn't just pull you out of the valley. Sometimes he delivers you through the valley. So don't despise the process. Oh, I know. We don't like that word. We don't like the word process. We like the word instant. Just lay your hands on me, zap me with the Holy Ghost, and let this breakthrough happen. Right? But sometimes, look, there are breakthroughs that happen that way. There are. There are breakthroughs that happen that way. But then there are breakthroughs that we walk through. Where as we go through, God delivers us in that process. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So never despise baby steps. Baby steps. Never despise them and don't get discouraged by them. Can I talk to you for a few minutes about baby steps? Baby steps are good. Because as long as you're taking more steps forward than backward, you're moving in the right direction. Even if sometimes you take two steps forward, then one little step back, and then three steps forward, then two steps back, and you're you know, it's a little bit of struggle happening. But as long as you're taking more steps forward than back, you are going in the right direction. You're making progress. And this is good. It's good. Like when you're trying to lose weight. I know we could all relate to this. They all told me, when you get married, you're going to gain 10 pounds. They all told me. And I said, no, I'm not. And then by the time the honeymoon was over, somehow I had gained 10 pounds. Before the honeymoon was over. And I said, okay, I'm going to lose this. And I said, I know how I'm going to lose this. I'm going to eat salad for 2 weeks. I'm going to eat lettuce for 2 weeks. And this weight's coming off in Jesus' name. I'm going to eat lettuce. And I did. I ate lettuce for 2 weeks. And I was so excited to get back on that scale. And when I got back on the scale after 2 weeks of lettuce, I weighed exactly the same. And I was like, what? How can this be? And then my mind started going through all the things I denied myself of. I denied myself that ice cream. I denied myself that cake. I denied myself that pizza. I denied myself that spaghetti. I denied. And I weighed the same. And I got so frustrated. I ran right out to the supermarket. And I bought two huge containers of ice cream. And I spent the rest of that week every day eating ice cream. Every day. I ate ice cream every single day. I said, fine, if I eat lettuce and nothing happens, I'm eating ice cream. And after 5 days of ice cream, I got on the scale and I gained 2 pounds. I was like, why is it that I can eat lettuce and lose nothing and eat ice cream for a few days and gain 2 pounds? This is not fair. What? I'm in the valley. But you know, it's like this. It's like, you know, it's like baby steps or baby choices. And like one day it's like, okay, apple or cookie. And I've had this many times. Especially in church green rooms. They love to put out cookies and fruit. I'm like, what? You're going to stand me in front of a bowl of cookies and a bowl of fruit. And you're basically leaving it up to me to choose which one I'm going to eat. And then I think of the book Joyce Meyer wrote, Eat the Cookie and Buy the Shoe. You know, I mean, something about a shoe and a cookie. And I'm like, well, praise God, Joyce said I can eat a cookie. I'm going to eat the cookie. So I eat the cookie. And then I walk into church condemned that I just ate the cookie. I'm like, God, what? I just eat the cookie. And it's like you go one day and you're like, okay, I'm going to eat an apple. And you take a baby step and one day goes by, you eat the apple. And you get on the scale and you weigh exactly the same. You're like, I ate an apple today. I should be less. Like, where's the instant results? But you know, if you've ever been in the process of weight loss, you know one day is not enough or even 2 weeks. It's a process. It's actually a lifestyle change, not even a diet. It's lifestyle change that happens over a period of time. See, you're in a health class now. Praise God. Or we could just pray for the supernatural fat-burning anointing and just have God burn all the fat off. It'd be so much better. Jesus, it'd be so much better. But I've learned not to despise the baby steps. It's not just one day of eating an apple. It's a lifestyle. And then over time, you see, and it's the same with us spiritually. There's a reason for this illustration. There's a reason. It's the same principle when it comes to spiritual breakthrough and transformation of our life. It's not just one day of making the choice to follow the Spirit. Or one day like, okay, I'm going to pray today. And you spend 15 minutes with God and then you expect your whole life to be instantly changed. Right? It's like the same thing, eating the cookie and getting on the scale, or praying for 15 minutes and then expecting everything in your life to be drastically transformed. It's baby steps, and every day adds up to deeper and deeper and deeper transformation until one day you have grown and you turn around and you see where you've come from and where you are right now. And there's a transformation that has happened. If that's Jesus, tell him I said hi. See, he calls in sometimes, more than once. This is a busy hotline, praise God. It's a very nice ringtone. So, transformation through. Okay, and I'm just going to declare over you today, you're coming through. You're coming through. Maybe you've taken some steps. Maybe you've taken some steps backward. God is for you, not against you. He's with you. And every single day, as you choose to make choices, to follow the Spirit, to pray, to seek God, there's transformation happening in your life. Praise God. So don't get discouraged. Amen? Eat the apple. Now, I want to mention another thing I saw here in Scripture in 2 Samuel 5. Turn over to 2 Samuel 5. And I'm going to talk just for a little bit more, and then we're going to pray. 2 Samuel 5. This is the portion of Scripture where David becomes anointed king over Israel. It's actually his third anointing, third time being anointed with oil, first time as a child, young man, and then second time over Judah, and now he's getting anointed as king over Israel. He had multiple layers of anointing happening in his life. And David becomes anointed king over Israel. And what happens in this scripture? The Philistines hear about it. Do you think the enemy is going to be happy about you getting anointed with fresh oil? Oh, now he's texting. Praise God. Is that my wife? She's on the front row texting. Okay. Praise God. I heard the ding. I heard the ding. Tell your father I said hi. No. So, do you think the enemy is going to be happy that you get a breakthrough? Or that you get a fresh anointing on your life? Or that you're even here at this conference? Do you think he's happy like, oh, yay, they're going to all get anointed? No. And the Philistines, which represent the adversary, encamp against David. They set themselves up against David. And what does David do? He retreats into the stronghold of God's presence. The best thing you can do whenever you feel the enemy pressing against you is to instantly, as quickly as you can, go into the stronghold of God's presence. And there God speaks to David and says, I am going to break through your enemy. And God begins to declare this breakthrough to David. And this scripture is an amazing scripture. And I feel it's a prophetic word for our day right now. Especially, like I said last night, coming into the head of the year, Rosh Hashanah, 10 days of awe, Yom Kippur. It's a very, I feel, important time on the calendar. And it says in verse 20 of 2 Samuel 5, David came to Baal Perazim. He smote them there and said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the bursting out of great waters. And he called the name of the place Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough. And this is what God is saying over us today. Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough. Like the bursting forth of mighty waters, like the river of God. With the bursting forth of the mighty waters of God, God has broken through our enemies. Oh, hallelujah. Everything the enemy has ever tried to use against you, everything the enemy has tried to set against you, every hindrance, every constraint, any obstacles you've faced in your life, the anointing of God, the power of God is going to break through your adversaries, clear out your adversaries, and bring victory into your life. This is the prophetic word of God. The Lord of the breakthrough is going to break through every adversary that has ever tried to rise up against you. And let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And this is what's happening as we worship, as we call on his name, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. God is scattering your adversaries. And as he scatters your adversaries, not only is he going to anoint you with fresh oil, he is going to establish you in that new anointing. And that's what happened to David. God anointed him with oil. The enemy came against him. God smote the enemy, scattered the enemy, and then God established David in his new anointing. And that's what happens. That's what happens. And I know in past years I've shared this story, but I got to share it briefly one more time here today. Because this is probably one of the greatest testimonies of my family. That when the enemy came against us as a family, when I was a young boy, I was 12 years old, and he tried to destroy my family with sickness and disease and caused my mom to be bedridden for 2 years. And as a little 14-year-old Catholic boy, I would pray to God, God, for Christmas, let my mom be able to get out of bed. And the enemy came in like a flood and tried to destroy our family with this sickness. But as the enemy pressed in against us, we turned and called out to God. And my mom, in her broken state, collapsed on the floor in the back of a Catholic church where the priests were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jehovah Sneaky. And she made her way up to the front of that altar, and it was a Catholic mass. It was a Catholic mass. It was not even like this. It was no like music like this. It wasn't even like, it was a Catholic, regular Catholic mass. Healing mass. And as my mom stood there and the priest said, what do you need from God? And she's like, I don't know what I need. I just need God to heal me. Before he could even put his hand on her, God put his hand on her And the power of the Holy Spirit was so strong. She went flying through the air and hit the ground. No catcher. And she could feel the power of heaven, the power of God surging through her body. And by the time God was finished, she was saved, healed, delivered, all in one shot. And she got off that floor totally healed by God. Totally healed by God. And I find this so amazing because the force of the blast of God's power was so strong. She got thrown back so hard and fast that the next day she woke up and she couldn't move her neck. And she's like, Jesus, thanks for healing me, but I have whiplash. I can't move my neck. She couldn't move her neck. She like strained her neck. And she's like, thanks God for healing me, but my neck. And instantly her neck was healed. And God said, oh, don't worry about that. Healed. And since that moment, that's how I got saved. That's how I came to know Jesus was really, really real. Something horrible that the enemy planned ended up bringing such a glorious revelation. Not only that Jesus is our Savior, but our healer, our deliverer, our everything. And my whole family came into the kingdom of God from that one encounter. Hallelujah. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm here today. Because I saw what God did for my mom. And the same God who healed my mom and gave our family a breakthrough is the same God in this room that can heal you, set you free, touch your family, save your whole family. Every single member of your family saved. I am really a big believer in household salvation. I really am. That somehow God is going to save every single member of Christians' families. I just have a lot of faith for that. I have a lot of faith for it. I have a lot of faith for it. And over the years, I've seen one by one by one by one by one, not just our immediate family, but our extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins, all coming to know Jesus. All coming to know God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, this is something I've pondered. Because sometimes people, they get mad at the fact that they were born into certain families. And they're like, God, how come I couldn't have had a better family? How come I couldn't have been born to better parents or a better family or something? Did you ever realize that your salvation is not just for you? But by the very fact of your salvation, not only are you redeemed, but your whole family line can experience redemption. And I don't know how it all works, but my faith just goes out to God and I say, God, past, present, and future. The whole line, God. Redeem the whole family line. Oh, hallelujah. I just saw a picture of my great-great-grandmother and grandfather on my dad's side. And I was shocked when I saw the photo. My great-great-grandmother is my dad with hair. And if you have seen my dad, okay, just picture his face with hair in a bun, okay? That's my great-great-grandmother. And my grandfather was a steeple maker. He made steeples. Praise the Lord. All the way back in Norway, many, many years ago. Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough. And God is going to break through for you.